Blog Talk Radio.
Mika, are you there?
I am. I made about 47 seconds.
Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, as usual, we have a hot... Oh, look at who's already here.
Hollywood is already here. For y'all stud.
Is your phone, you know, your phone still affected by the game?
Hey, it might be. We're going to see. If it is, well, I can't do nothing about it.
Well, you know, it's been 5 years since we did this show. And first off, for those who've listened to us in the past, and the one thing before we kind of jump in, we want to welcome Mika Carey to the game, Game 7 cast.
Yeah,
so,
welcome. Welcome again.
So before we kind of jump in, you know, being that it's 5 years since we kind of did this, just see what's been going on with y'all, what's been going on for these last 4 years. What about yourself, BJ?
Man, the last 5 years have been crazy. Like, I've, you know, recently got married within the 5 years.
Congratulations.
Just purchased my first home. Thank y'all. Just purchased my first crib. You know, I just became director of a nonprofit organization in Norfolk. So, you know, life's been full of blessings.
Been grand.
Appreciate it.
How about yourself, Meek?
I became somebody's grandmama.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's a big congratulations.
These 5 years have been crazy. But I will say that I'm thoroughly blessed. And like I said, it made me somebody's grandmama. So I ain't going to complain.
That's right.
What about yourself, Tank?
Well, I became someone's grandfather. Along with you. I'm a granddaddy. Just been, you know, everything's been going the same direction. My DJ, I've been getting a little more busy. My brand branching out a bit.
And that's awesome. I see you doing three shows on the weekends at on the same night. That's awesome. Hope that keeps going for you.
I hope
it's undeniable. It's undeniable. I see you branching, bro.
Yes, sir. Just trying to spread the wings a little bit.
Yeah.
That's right. And I guess for myself, you know, the last 5 years has been crazy. You know, I've gone bald for one, but my career has kind of changed.
I thought you were bald 5 years ago.
Was I? Has it been that long?
I think so. I ain't seen you with no hair.
I can't even remember anymore. My work career has transitioned a lot from, you know, managing one to two people to end up managing about 85. With about 12 managers, so doing a lot of growing and developing as a manager, you know, down to doing a lot of traveling, but things have been good, but I'm just glad we're in a position of all getting back together and sharing some ideas and sharing some thoughts and just see where we can take it.
Yes, sir.
So before we kind of get into our topic of the night, Critic Matters, as we always do, kind of want to start off in the hot topics of the week. So what you got going on there, Tank?
One of the number one hot topics I want to get you guys, see what you guys think about this, is that Colin Kaepernick has been called to tryout this weekend. It's going to be Saturday in Atlanta. It's going to be supposedly all the NFL teams and owners are been requested to come out, but my thing is, from the way I'm looking at it, even though my boy Hove is down, I'm thinking it's a PR stunt, because why not Tuesdays like they always do everything else on Tuesdays? Why is it the day before? But Colin Kaepernick did call out the owners and the GMs to tell them that he would see them Saturday, which, of course, we all know the coaches with their teams on the day before the game. So I think it's going to be interesting. I do think it's a PR stunt, but I am interested to see who's going to come out. It's buzzing all over the NFL. Got the whole league in the buzz. Is about to go back. Are we kneeling again? Are we not? What do you guys think about the situation? PR move, or is this legit?
Joe, you want to go?
Yeah, I've been watching this kind of coach or whatever because I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. And so
right.
I know he's been catching it in the media with this, and the Uncle Tom comments has really kind of swamped him, you know what I mean, with the NFL move he did. I do see the PR move in it, but I'm very interested to see at this point, is it even worth the move? Like, what are we gaining as a quarterback? Like, are we talking about Colin Kaepernick, the freedom fighter, or are we talking about Colin Kaepernick, the person who can lead a franchise to the Super Bowl?
Right. And see, that's why I don't know where the line's drawn. The season, what, we 10 weeks in? Why are we doing it right now?
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about it, because at the beginning of the season, there was a lot of teams that had turnover. You had the Colts, who lost their starting quarterback.
Right.
You had the Steelers, who lost their quarterback. Miami
right.
got issues. Tampa Bay, James Winston has had a start, a horrible kickoff to his season. I think there was a lot of options. But at this point, I really do think it's a PR move, especially being what you kind of brought up as far as why are they doing it on a Saturday? Who's going to go to Atlanta when they got a game in San Diego or Seattle
right.
or all of these other locations? So I don't really see the benefit, and I don't really know how much value that Kaepernick can really bring to a team, to be honest with you.
That's what I see. We're not talking about is A-Rod coming back. So, I mean, geez.
Yeah. You know, when you look at the Chicago Bears, for instance, that was a perfect fit.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you look at Trubisky having, like, the worst year he's had since he's been in the league so far.
Right.
With a defense, it's a top three defense that could easily be, you know, a top two, three team in the NFC. They need somebody, you know, that could take them over the hump. And Colin and San Fran, maybe. But, you know, I don't know if that's what we get. And I understand Lamar Jackson has highlighted the running quarterback again and kind of rejuvenated that whole, that whole demeanor in the position. Can Colin come back into the NFL and be Lamar Jackson when he was supposedly Lamar Jackson before Lamar got into the league anyway?
Well, he definitely wasn't Lamar Jackson before Lamar got in the league. In the three-year layoff, I think it's just too much. I think, personally, the ship has sailed. I know what they're trying to do. That's why, for some reason, I just smell a PR stunt. Me. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not making sense.
Right. You know, I wish them all the best. I wish them all the best. So if somebody pick them
right.
up, more power to them. But I wouldn't be surprised
exactly.
if, like you said, it's just a chess move on their part,
right.
and it don't go nowhere after this.
Right. Because he's going to have to go because the league want him to say, nah, why say that? I'm not coming. For them to say,
right.
well, we tried. Right. So we'll see.
Right.
Also in the news, you guys, that's on my second topic of the news. Kodak Black, I don't know how many of our listeners are fans of Kodak Black,
oh,
but he has finally been sentenced. Kodak Black has 3 years, right, and 8 months in the federal correction facility.
But did you also see that he has attacked a guard and he possibly will get more time after the investigation?
Right. Not from the reports, from my ear to the streets, my reports have told me that the judge, like the prosecutors were pushing for that, but the judge was like, it's unrelated. But he still has all the open cases. So this could spell the end for Kodak Black. I really don't know how these rappers think that going to jail, any kind of jail, county jail, prison, or a federal institution, going to increase your sales. It's not. You might get a small bump, but in the long run, you're just pissing your career away. Going down the
your
ground,
life.
You know,
you're pissing your life away.
You're pissing your life away, bro.
Like
this man showed so much promise, so many co-signs.
Two-year stint, like JT or Lil Wayne or T.I., they were gone
right.
a good year, 6 months. You talking about
right.
4 to 10 years. Nobody checking for you. It ain't even the same way when you come back. And then you didn't even build any kind of what he been out for a hot second.
Right. But just like JT. Yeah. Almost was too long for JT. She almost rolled out almost too long.
Right.
Almost too long.
Let me include this part. First off, I've hit that age where I don't listen to mostly 90s, 2000 rap music. But I will say I spent some time and read the article, and for him to basically be a felon and going and trying to buy guns from a gun shop and using a fake social security number and lying on your application, I mean, he set himself up for it.
Right. I have a listener says is irrelevant, but I beg to differ, listener. This news is perfect to show you. It's to show our young rap artists what not to do. He's setting up the case to show, let's not follow my direction. Let's not follow my path. Are you aspiring young rappers that's listening or entrepreneurs? Do not follow this path. This man has been destroying his life. Years. 7-8 years.
Money don't make you smart, though. That's what people don't understand.
Right.
Money does not make you smart. If you have that mentality, if nobody is around you telling you or trying to school you or trying to make you better, you're going to do the same stupid stuff on a bigger scale because you got more money.
Right.
He was just
I think Kodak falls into that category of that. I think Kodak falls into that category. That money does not make you smarter. Kodak might have issues that he had before he started rapping.
That's right.
Before he got in the game.
Recreational drug use. More money makes him buy more drugs. Like, it does not. It does not change who you are. It just helps you do more dumb shit.
I want to say Boosie might be the only one, and I might be missing this, but you know, I might be missing a couple people. But I'm sure Boosie, and maybe Gucci too, had a boost in shows coming from a long jail layoff. And I don't know if that's in rapper's mind that you come back home and you get the love. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know. But it's a stupid way about. It's a stupid way of going about it, in my book.
I definitely agree with you. I definitely agree with you with not with the Boosie, but with the Gucci. Because, you know, as a DJ, I mean, nobody's checking for Boosie, only the old Boosie. Now, the old Boosie's still going. Now, Boosie's going to make his run.
You know, like when Boosie first came home, I'm sure Boosie was getting sister show.
He's going to. The way our market is set up, when I say market, I mean the whole South in general. It's too many. And I guess that's what Kodak Black is looking at. It's too many Columbus, Georgia, and Mississippi, and Tuscaloosa's, Meridians, and Pensacola. It's too much money. You're going to eat because it's too many towns.
It's
going to get you. Right.
Webby
was in our fair city this past Saturday, so make her glad you asked.
Webby was
in black Air Force khaki pants.
But the man, but Kodak, you know, the song with, you know, I think he had a top five hit, you know, when he got out the first time.
Some of his songs pretty good. I mean, not all of them.
Yeah, you know, you just hate to see a talent get wasted like that. You know what I mean? Same thing with, Bobby Shmurda. You know what I mean? Like, when you see somebody hot and they bubbling and then they do something to get down the road, you know, you don't waste jail on 2 minutes. You know?
Right.
Hopefully he come back out with a different mindset. You know what I mean? I read somewhere that Gucci talks to him, you know, still about trying to change, you know, some of the image that he has put forth in the past, you know, years. And Gucci can... You know, Gucci changed so much, people say he was a clone. So maybe Kodak can come back out a clone and be a whole better person and don't go back. That's just, you know.
He definitely going to – look, we won't see him no more to love and hip-hop.
Man, oh, man.
All right, so on a sad note, we're going to move along and talk about it. There's been a couple of shooters in hip-hop. We're on the hip-hop news for a short second. Badass, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He lost his life. He was locked up. He wasn't a shooter, but he was locked up.
Yeah.
When he died out in California, he was with the Dog Pound, always with Snoop. I don't know how far my old heads go back, but he always was around. He was a youngin' with Daz, with Corrupt, with Snoop. Say he passed away while he was in custody. Kind of okay. Bad, sad news.
Yeah.
And Lil Reese from Chicago got
Badass.
Rest in peace, Badass. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Chicago rapper. He's in critical condition. Lil Reese. You know, Lil Durk, man. They're from Chicago. They're nice. Again,
yeah.
You know, just dealing with the senseless violence.
What I heard, what that sound like to me was like that Charlie Brown teacher. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And he was, say he was out in the suburbs of Chicago, just in the suburbs, out the way, supposedly. Car chase. Caught one in the neck. That's a sad
man.
Situation.
Yeah, you hate to hear that, man. Like,
not the police?
Nah, by another guy. Witnesses say they were just chasing him in traffic, pulled up at the light. The driver got out, semi-autographic, shot the car up. Caught one in the neck.
You know, Chicago is a totally different world than the rest of the United States. But I don't know what happened, why killing and shooting has become such a common. And, I mean, what happened where, and I guess this is a whole nother show, but what happened to people valuing their, not valuing someone else's life, but just valuing not being in prison? I don't even get that part.
Right, like why is it so much value placed on that?
I mean, the mindset of Chicago is so different from everywhere else, and it's crazy, you know what I mean, how social media play a part in that. If you was to look at the rappers and just the people in general that murder in Chicago based off of like tweets and posts that they put up and just telling people, you know, I dare you to come to, you know, O Block and this and that, and you know, They even got a social media task force in Chicago to monitor, you know what I mean, posts from different, you know, popular entities in Chicago trying to stop the violence. But
right.
It's just a sad situation, man. I hope Lil Reese pull through. He's a talented dude. Like, you know, keep them.
He's talented.
Look at
yeah,
him
Reese. Right.
Yeah.
One of the OGs from Chicago. He's young, but he's like Joe said, he hold it down.
Yeah, he a bit. Yeah.
He's one of those guys that I'm not moving from the shy, you know. Now, my last bit of hip-hop news is going to be on a brighter note. It's going to almost segue into what we're talking about tonight. It's Comedian E-40. They announced a $100,000 investment contest for minorities, specifically women of color. Mm. And they teamed up with this app called Convos. And it's, you know, Comedian has been doing a lot of investing in the tech world these past couple of years. And so they got a contest going out to try to help minority women to get jobs, to get where to get businesses, to become entrepreneurs. So I think it's pretty good. It's a pretty good contest that they got going on called Convos. If you want any more information on it, it's on the app, Convos app. Again, he is teaming up with E-40. So I think it'll be something pretty good. Two entrepreneurs, you know, E-40 got a lot of his own wine distillery, all type of businesses, and so does Chameleon now. So I think there'll be something real good. Not necessarily, you don't have to be a hip hop head. It's not really hip hop ish, but it's something that they're doing.
Is,
I think it's a pretty good idea.
You already have to have an established business, though. Not a startup.
Right.
You have to have an established business in order to enter this contest.
To Tank's point about this kind of going into the topic of the night, I don't want to call Comedian a one hit wonder, but he only just two or three years, but I feel like I don't know too many rappers who end up leaving the industry and end up being so successful outside of the rap industry more than Comedian. He has made a lot of good business decisions.
Right. I mean, he's one of the early investors in Lyft. Some shit that we all use right now. That's crazy.
It is. I didn't know that.
He's riding dirty himself, just like you said.
I didn't know he was investing in Lyft either, but that's pretty impressive. And one thing, and I will talk about that when we move into it, but that's one thing I learned is you've got to make sure you center yourself in the right circles, because I'm sure he is mingling with the right people. And it just takes one person to whisper in your ear, where to put some money into, and you never know what you can come out
right.
with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Started similar like that. Like, he had a friend that was in Silicon Valley, and he started investing, and then it just went from there.
Right.
Does that mean?
Liv Green.
Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a homeboy, and he started taking trips out to Cali and the Silicon Valley, spending time out there. And next thing you know, he was investing, and he
right.
walked away from rap.
I mean, this rapper had, look, he's invested in 40 startups now, Jay. That's a lot. Ring,
that's
Liv,
a whole lot.
You know, Maker Studios from Disney. I don't know what that is or Cruise, but I know that we are familiar with Ring. We are familiar with Liv.
Right.
Started some other
yeah.
startups. That's inc- for a rapper from Houston, Texas that drink lean.
Yeah. It's a,
well,
you got an impressive resume.
Who told you he drank lean?
The internet. And the internet is in the, look, Tamika, and the internet is undefeated.
Who told you that?
You ain't
drinking. I'm gonna be drinking
you
now.
Read, you read it on Bob Dole's internet.
No.
That's true. So it's got
hey, and you know, that's one, these conferences that they're having out of state, these little small business conferences and stuff, people need to start investing their money in that. Take you 2 or 3 days and just go and see who you can mingle with and what kind of, here's some of these ideas that's out there. That's where people need to really start looking at. Because it's some amazing things that I've heard just traveling and getting myself in different circles, and we'll discuss that in some other shows as well. But there's so much opportunity out here that every trip doesn't have to be taken just a vacation. It can be a business trip.
Exactly.
Right.
But
yeah.
As we move on, we're going to come into our topic of the night, make your money work for you. And we've all discussed this before. We've all had different conversations, but you know, some of the challenges, especially in the urban community, people are not utilizing their money the right way. And there's so many people out here dying broke, and their families having to, you know, think we all see those jokes on Facebook about people having to do GoFundMes and barbecues and parties just to bury their own. So I wanted
right.
to jump in that topic. And Mika, what is just your experience? How many years have you been in this, in the banking industry?
I have been in the banking industry for 12 years, and I segued into the banking industry, finance world, from selling life insurance for 2.5 years. I was a sales manager. And so with life insurance, people really do not realize that that's how a lot of people have generational wealth, is because of life insurance policies. They have someone decided to take the time and to bless their family with money in the end of spending their debt. Not saying, oh, I don't care how y'all live when I die, I just need enough to bury me. No, they had enough mindset to want to make sure that their family live better than them. And it's through insurance. And insurance is not expensive. If you get your nails done, if you get your hair done, if you buy Jordans on the regular, if you go out to eat 2-3 times a week, you can afford insurance. It needs to be a part of your monthly budget. Nobody should be walking around here don't have life insurance unless you can't be insured. And if you start young, you will always be able to be insured. That's why you should insure your babies when they get here, because even if they develop some kind of illness, they'll always be able to be insured because you insured them before the illness was found.
What kind of cost is that to insure an infant?
Well, I have insurance on my grandson. When he first came home, I got insurance on him. I think I pay like $11 a month. And now that he has insurance, he will always be able to be insured. So they have different parts of his life. I'm not speaking anything on him, but Lord forbid, if he's diagnosed with anything, I have different parts of his life. Like when he gets married, when he turns a certain age. There's like 3 different times that you can increase his insurance for him. And I think when he get married, I can increase insurance for him, and that he don't have to do a physical. He don't have to answer any health questions or anything, because I used to be an insurance agent for a guy that had leukemia. And so I was able to help him go through those periods of his life. He ended up turning 25 and getting married the same year, so he was able to increase his insurance twice in that 1 year. And as long as you continue to pay that insurance policy, never let it lapse, you'll always be insured. And if you don't smoke, your insurance is cheaper. The younger you are, your insurance is cheaper. If you're a female, your insurance is cheaper. So there's really no reason. You can get a policy $15, $20, $30. Let it be automatically drafted out of your account and go on with your life. And you don't have to. I know my insurance people are going to cringe because you make more money off whole life. You do not have to get whole life if you cannot afford it. When you're younger, you should be getting term insurance. Term insurance is cheaper. Term means it could be anywhere from 5, 10, 20, 25 years, meaning it has a term, meaning at the end of that 25 years, either your insurance is going to go up, and some policy will allow you to roll it into whole life. Term insurance is hella cheap. Term insurance is hella cheap. Everybody should be purchasing insurance. No matter what status you're in, no matter how much money you make, you should be purchasing life insurance.
And before Tanker Joe jumps in, once again, our call-in number is 516-387-1858. That's 516-387-1858.
And parents, for your young children, I have insurance on everything that's in my house. When my daughter gets to a point where she can afford her own insurance, I would turn that policy over to her. We have to make sure we are taking care of our kids. We don't care if they're grown. Stop making them be on their own at 18. Take care of them, of that those little bills for them until they can take care of themselves. Because Lord forbid, if something happens to your kids, you do not want to be begging and pleading, trying to bury them. Funerals are not cheap.
They are not cheap.
I have done three since 2014. They are not cheap. I know firsthand. I have had to plan them. I've had to sit down, and I have had to help my mom plan too, and then I had to do my mom.
On an average, Mickey, what would that cost be?
An average funeral, I feel about $9,400.
$10,000.
That's if you can do it a little cheaper.
Cremation will be cheaper, right?
Yeah, cremation is cheaper. I think cremation can be anywhere from $9,000 to $1,200. But if you're having a burial, between, you have to get the vault, you have to pay for the vault to be closed, you have to pay for the grave to be dug, you have to pay for the funeral service, you have to pay for the casket, of course, you have to purchase the clothes that they're going to wear, you have to purchase the program. It is a list of stuff that you have to do. And everything costs. The car, if you want family to write all of that stuff, cost. That is a lot of money to try to come up with. And it can stress a family out.
And I think one thing that we don't even think about is, heaven forbid, I mean, chances are you're going to have a doctor bill that you're paying on top of it. And you're just talking about the funeral. We're not even talking about how that person might have passed.
Yeah, we ain't even talking about all the stuff that's surrounding it. We just talking about the burial. We haven't even gotten into the other factors.
Man.
You all right, Joe?
Yeah, because it's a deep topic, bro. Like, I feel like a lot of our people don't know that. A lot of our people have this mentality of, why pay for it today? When I'm all right, I'm young, I'm 22. What in the world do I need to go spend $30 a month for life insurance?
Right.
When I got my whole life ahead of me, and
right,
you know,
they selfish. They don't look at anything.
Yeah, and we in this city know firsthand how tomorrow ain't promised at all. So
right.
You know, are we not thinking about the kids or your
selfish
your wife?
I've had people
whatever.
I've had people tell me, damn, I'm dead. What I'm gonna need the money for? It's not for you, dummy.
Right, right. I've heard
it is for other people. Are you serious? No shit. It's not for you. It's for your family. Anybody in your family. It ain't got to be. You may not have kids, but you may have a family member or a friend that can take care. Like Tamika said, your expenses.
Yeah, I work at Liberty National, and one of the guys that trained me, Marvin O'Dell, he told me there's two different ways you can grieve. You can grieve. Your family can have insurance. You can purchase life insurance, and your family can take care of you, be able to hand the check over to the insurance company. You can get everything taken care of, and you can grieve in peace. Or you can be falling out in the floor trying to figure out how the hell you're going to pay for the funeral, plus on top of planning the funeral. Do you really want to leave your mama, your auntie, your sister, your cousin, the people that you claim you love, the people you claim you're ride for? Do you really want to leave those people in that kind of predicament? Do you really want to embarrass your family and make them have to do these things for you because you were irresponsible or you didn't take care of your bills? When it could have cost you $10 to $15, $20 a month.
That's no money. I mean, that's after the club food truck money right there. I mean, that's a drink and a half money right there at the club.
Yeah, we're talking about people who constantly spend that in a day's time, holding it up to their head, you know, to their ear, sliding it all up down their arm or whatnot to show me the hundreds and the 50s and the 20s that you have or whatever. You know, you got the latest shoes, the latest outfit to go with it. You know what I mean? And I have to donate to you when it's over. You know what I mean? Like, it don't sit well with people. I know a lot of people who say, like, bro, where all that money that he had or she had? You get what I'm saying?
And
like,
then you have special cases. You have special cases where people end up with illnesses that then they didn't think about doing it when they were younger. You also, and I know people don't want to do it, you can go to the funeral home and pre-plan your funeral and start paying for it. I mean, you know you have health issues. Like I said, we don't want to look at it, but there's ways to not do your family like this. There are ways to get around it.
I think Mika just touched on a strong point. I highlight that because it's easy for us to talk about the problem, but, you know, I think we should highlight the solution as well. I bet our listeners, I would say a strong 50-60% didn't know that you could go prepay for your funeral.
Yeah. Any funeral home in Tuscaloosa will allow you to prepay. They will sit down with you. You can figure out what you want to do and come up with a cost-effective way, and you can pre-plan for your funeral. Because
And to agree with what Joe said, I wonder why they don't, for the solution, why don't they advertise that?
All
right. I mean, if I'm in a funeral home and nobody else is doing that, I definitely would advertise prepayment. Come on, get this money.
Yeah.
But, you know, people think nobody else more of this. When I sold life insurance, I was wonderful at it because I believed in it.
Right.
I started working in life insurance in May. And end up being one of the top producers for the year. That is because my mama drilled it in me. People just do not understand. Because people make up every excuse not to buy it. Every excuse.
Right. And it's crazy. I do get you saying some people think it's morbid, but it's also inevitable. 100% of us going to die. 100%. There's no percentage of people that's not going to die. None. Everybody.
And don't look at somebody as... Don't look at it as somebody benefiting from your death.
Right.
My mom had an 8th grade education, but she ended up running a department in community service because she wasn't no dummy. She had sense enough to get life insurance. She purchased a home, which she left to me. I plan on purchasing another home in 5 years and leaving this one to my daughter, which will leave me with another home. That has left my family lineage in a whole different perspective than what it was when my mama was born. My mama was born on a sharecropper's land. She was one step away from slavery. So that's what life insurance does.
Right.
It changes the whole dynamic of your family line.
And I say this because hearing you say that, you know what I mean, it makes you flip a little bit because we, you know, this generation, plus somebody's generation, has to put a halt to, like, the generational ignorance that came down the line. Like, because a lot of our families years and years and years ago just didn't know what was available, wasn't allowed to go through and do the go through and do these different things. So now that this information is available, some people are just ignorant to the fact that it's out there and where to go get it. So you're making a move like that, set your family up in the future.
Right. And to harp on what one of my listeners just texted in and said, it goes back to they looking at stuff materialistic. They can't physically touch it, so they don't want to do it. It might be as simple as that. He texted that in and it does make sense. If it's something materialistic they can buy, whatever it is, they have no problem with it. But just the thought of, man, 20 years, 10 years, like even though it could be tomorrow, they won't do it. It's just a switch, they won't do it. $20 a month, $5 a month.
If you love Shay Shay and Man Man as much as you post on social media, you should be covered because you should want them to prosper. You should want them to be better and live better than what you live. Love is deeper than this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't stress that enough. Like, I think, Meek, I think you like dead on with that. Like, no pun intended.
Right.
But like, when you leave, that's your opportunity to say, here, thank you. You know what I mean? Go live.
Right.
Go change what I couldn't do here. Go do it. And I don't know.
Right.
That's a major move to make for your family that would set them up for years and years and years to come.
Right.
Years to come.
Which is what other families are doing.
And having a conversation.
Have the conversation.
Just like when we were talking about, we've been hashtagging all day about credit matters. Have the conversation. Why are we not talking to our kids? Why are we not opening checking accounts for them and showing them how to write a check and use a debit card and not bounce? Or if they do bounce a check, why this cost? Why you shouldn't be paying $35 or $40 for a return check and how much that's taken out of your paycheck every time it's direct deposit? Why are we not teaching our kids the importance of a credit score or looking at it? And if we don't know, everything is on the internet. I just do not understand why we are so dumb. When we are the generation with the most information.
Right.
We got Google on our phone. You can learn anything you want to.
I had a listener text and said, why does credit matter so much?
That's a good question.
Yeah, credit matters.
The most simple answer is because America makes it matter. So when America makes it matter, you can't get certain jobs if your credit's tore up. You can't rent certain apartments or houses if your credit is tore up. You can't buy a home if your credit is tore up. You can't purchase a vehicle, not one that you can afford with your credit score. America makes it matter. That's why it matters. So we got to play the game that America has built up.
Right. You just named the things that, you know, America classifies the dream. Go get you a home. Go get you a career. Get you a car. Go live. But if your credit is you're not going to do none of those. Well, you know what I mean? Like, you're behind the eight ball in a lot of areas if, you know, you go in there with your credit shot.
I wanted to touch on one thing. I had one person reach out to me. Let me find that real quick. And their thoughts was, we see as credit as the answer to everything, but in fact, it's the money mindsets and behavior that allow us to excel. Pretty much it's leveraging someone else's money, but we are not taught the discipline needed to achieve this. If one has discipline with credit, then in fact that person doesn't need credit because they would have the available funds. Credit is marketed towards people not because it's a good thing, but because the reward for you failing at it is so lucrative. Credit is one big circle of doom. Go ahead, Mika.
If you got it. A lot of us don't have it. A lot of us, you know, I can't go purchase a house. I would love to say I would be able to save money.
Right. Like, it's hard. I mean,
and I don't have My issue, because I am forever fixing my credit, my issue is because I don't like to do a lot of credit. I like paying cash for things. But guess what? If I take a hit on my credit, I take a huge hit because I don't have enough. Because I'm cash.
Right. And
I
it still,
like, go,
it still goes
like,
back to it goes back to what you're saying. The listener, I see where they're coming from, but at the same time, like you said, who has $260,000 laying around to just go drop on the house?
Right.
In other type of way, without cashing it out, is going to be some form of credit, some form. Plus your vehicles.
And so
I mean,
you got to keep it. You got to keep it intact for the things that you don't have the money to buy.
Right.
I don't want anybody to be slave to credit because I can't stand to see people with 10, 15 credit cards. Why you got all them credit cards? Say no. Just because old neighbor giving you 30% off, say no. Because you know why they giving you 30% off? Because the interest rate 30%. They gonna get that back. You're not getting no perks. They're getting that 26%. They giving that 15% extra off, but they giving you 26% on that purchase that you made. It's all a gamble. Start saying no. It's okay. Get
Start
your amazing credit card if you're done. So, I mean, I understand it. I don't want nobody to be a slave. I don't want everybody to think that you got to get everything on credit. But it's just more than to just getting debt. It's, like I said, jobs. You will be turned down for a job if your credit is in disarray. You will be turned down for an apartment if your credit is in disarray.
And if you ever want to go into a big company and you think that and you think they're going to give you a one of the first things you do if you're going in on the executive level is they're probably going to give you a company credit card. If your personal credit is messed up, they're not going to hire you for those same things because obviously if you're not responsible for your own money, they're going to be very hesitant of allowing you to use theirs.
So how do a person build credit if they're not supposed to go out and open up this credit thing here? Because they might say if I have to build credit or create new credit lines, then I need to go out and get this belt card. I need to go get some furniture. I need to get this jewelry. Like, I need all these reporting factors to my, you know, to the three major credit bureaus in order to build my credit. So how do you suggest a person build credit without having to go get all these inquiries on their credit report?
They do not have to get inquiries. They can go get a secured credit card or a secured loan and be automatically approved by using their own money until they get ready to purchase something. Use your own money. We are entering income tax season. It's my favorite time of year. When I'm at work and I see someone withdrawing $3,000 to $5,000, hey, what you about to do? I'm about to buy a car. Come see me. What's your credit looking like? Well, I don't really have no credit that when I'm buying a car. Let me get that $3,000. What I'm going to do is I'm going to advance it back to you. We're going to hold this $3,000 and freeze it in your savings account. You're going to pay yourself back over 24-month, 36-month term. We'll say it's $1,550 a month. At the end of that 24 to 36 months, you're going to pay yourself back. And not only are you going to have your car, you're going to have them somewhere else.
Is that like the self? That's like a self lender loan program, right?
Self lender loan, and stuff. The interest rate is only gonna probably be about anywhere from 1.99 to maybe 3%. So you're gonna pay pennies on the dollar. You're gonna earn. You're gonna have 2 years worth of good payment history on your money, but you still gonna have your money at the end of that term that you saved up.
Listeners, pay attention. I think I may go sign up for one of those.
I'm thinking about signing up for one of those as well. Like,
trying to have me 50 credit cards.
Yeah, <that's>
now, this is not for my young listeners. This is for the old listeners. I'm almost 50 years old. I want 50 cards.
And then with a secured credit card, because what people don't realize that a part of the way that your credit is set up, which I think somebody had to be taking opium when they came up with this credit matrix. Your credit mix is a part of your credit matrix. So you have to have fixed loans, meaning they have a beginning date and an end date. So they usually have terms, 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, so forth. Then you have your revolving lines, which are considered open ends. You need both of those. So if you take the 3,000, we've done it. Okay, let me get 300. What you need with that 300 to me, we need to do you a secured credit card. We're going to hold this 300. We're going to allow you to get this credit card with a $300 credit limit, and you're going to use that card. You're going to buy gas once a month. You're going to make the you're going to pay the payment on the bill. You're going to make your payment on it. You got two credit lines going at the same time. You use your money. You haven't went in debt with anybody but yourself. You're going to pay yourself back. 6 months to a year, we're in a whole new place. We got a good.
And what is the name of this credit card one more time for all those who are listening?
It's a secured credit card. Different places have it. I know we have it at Alabama One because that's what I work at, so that's what we're talking about. But I know other places have it as well. And our minimum is $300.
Wells Fargo has it as well with the same minimum.
Right.
Yeah,
Discover it is pretty good.
Compass,
I did it,
but we ain't talking about them.
I did Discover it about a little over a year ago. That was pretty good too.
But yeah, but Wells Fargo does and Compass does too, because I work at both of those places and they have secured credit cards as well. The most important thing is to get one. You know what I'm saying? If you're trying to rebuild credit or if you're trying to start credit.
Some of those cards don't graduate, but like I said, I was just tossing one out. Discover does graduate. If you get a secured Discover It card, after about 6 months, you drop 300.
What's the interest rate on the Discover card?
I think that the interest rate is kind of high, but it's still secured. It goes back to what you were saying about your website. You can get it, don't buy nothing.
If you're
going right?
to do a secured card, I think Compass was 18%. I'm not sure what it is now. I'm not sure what Wells Fargo is. Ours is 12.99. You still need to look at interest rate because you still don't want to spend a lot of money on your money. Does that make sense?
Right.
Hey, Mink, I got a question for you.
I got
a question from a listener that says, how do I prepare my child who's a teenager at 17 years old? What do I go about doing to get them good credit?
Okay, you're 17-year-old. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to listen to me. You can put them on one of your credit cards, but it needs to be the card that you pay on time and that you keep a low balance on. It needs to be in good standing. I tell people to put their kids on cards as an authorized user, and they don't listen to me. You can put them on your card as an authorized user. You do not have to give them a card, but you place them on your card. Authorized user, they're going to piggyback off of your credit. So whatever you do, that's what it's going to look like they did on their credit.
But what's the earliest you can do this?
You're standing.
Okay. Is there an early age limit that you can start?
It depends on the company. I know one of my credit cards my son is on, they allowed me to do it when he was 16. Some places will allow you to do it at 18. It's just you have to call and see if it's okay. But, and I mean, and even if you're married or about to be married and your significant other, your husband or wife, don't have good credit, help them get good credit.
Right.
Put them on your credit card.
Wow.
You ain't got to give it to them, but put them on there as an authorized user. Help your brother get some good credit.
I became an authorized. And like Tamika said, especially if you become an authorized user of someone with a long account, like account history and pay on time. Like, I'm authorized user on an account that's 15 years old, 16 years old. So think about the credit history that's on me. You know?
Yeah. So put your teenager on a credit card as an authorized user. They cannot sign into a contract themselves until they're 19. But maybe you give them $300 for their 19th birthday and make them do a secured credit card loan, put the $300 in the bank, do automatic payment, and they don't touch it at their savings account. And you have gave them another gift by, at 19 years old, giving them 12 months of payments on that $300 and just let that money sit in there and do automatic payments off of that $300. Happy birthday.
I think we have a caller. I'm about to bring them in. If your last number is there, number is 057. That's there. If listeners, zero, last number, three digits is 057. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Hello?
Go ahead, Twist.
Zero.
Hey, how y'all doing?
057.
Yeah. This is Anthony Spencer, and I'm listening as far as the subject is credit matter. I myself just actually started building my credit, and like you know, one thing about it is I hear what Tamika had said and spoke on self lender, and one thing I did was I went through like a credit building or whatnot just to get my credit fixed or whatnot because I didn't know nothing about credit. And one thing about it was I was scared to get credit because, you know, people, I say the black community has you in fear of you shouldn't get credit. The credit is the devil or whatnot. You should never use that. But one thing I learned was that credit actually helps you out in the long run. And let me say this right here. Do y'all really understand that credit is like a loan? It's like a promise to pay back what you use or whatnot. And you have to keep that up to build your credit up. So the one thing I took with that was I got my secured card when I opened my bank. I opened up a self-lender loan. I pay that every month on time. And within 3 to 6 months, I was at like a low 400 when like and within 3 months I'm up to like 650 already within 3 to 6 months of just opening up those accounts and just paying it on time. And one thing I say is that people shouldn't fear wanting to have credit because I look at it as myself like it's money working for me. Like I get that money. I pay it on time. They're offering me more money in the long run.
I agree.
And how do you – I don't even know how you can even get a credit card in this day and age without a credit card. I mean, unless you're trying to say a moon wink or whatever.
Well, yeah. The thing about it is, like I said, you know – I know I heard Tamika say, you know, that, you know, having a credit card is, you know, well, having cash is, you know, like the best thing to do or whatever to use. But I look at it like, you know, yeah, you can pay cash and everything. But when those people go in and try to, like, say if you try to buy a house or whatnot, they're going to look at your credit first. You can have all that money and pay cash on it. They're still going to look at your credit.
Facts.
So when it's all said and done, you know, credit is beneficial to your living, everyday life.
Right. This is true. Like, I want to, like, you know, and to the caller, I just want to, you know, you have to salute people who, you know, go out there and, you know, grab the bull by the horn, so to speak, and go take control of what they feel like they lack in their life. And I, you know, I salute. You know, salute the brother for
and
just
so,
realizing how important credit is and going out
and
there and fixing
it. People are afraid. They're afraid of being ridiculed. They're afraid of,
right.
You know, somebody talking crazy to them. They don't feel like they're in a safe place. And I love what I do, so I try to make people feel like they're in a safe place because my credit, oh, my God, it could go from sugar to shit in 90 seconds. I mean, I have had to repair my own credit. That's why I know what to do. You know what I'm saying? So you have to make people feel in a safe space. You have to make people feel like they're not stupid. You have to make people feel like there's hope. You have to make people feel like, you know, we can do this together. Like, you know, like I know what I'm doing. If you listen to me, I promise you to get you there. You know, I make a big deal when people reach the 700. We high-five, we hug. We go through a whole little thing because that's important. Because all this money you're supposed to have a 700 credit score, that is a big thing.
You're right.
Yeah. And the key word is discipline. That's the key word.
100%.
Do you not know that you have to put yourself on financial probation if you're trying to reach a goal? That's just like, You know, we keep saying we want to lose weight and we want to be fine, but we won't hit the gym. We won't get on the treadmill that's in our room, and we won't put the pork down. Discipline.
We won't put the chicken down. Now, that right there, that's hard. To me, that's harder than losing weight is harder than getting credit good to me.
It's discipline. I have I put some numbers together to show people the importance of interest rates. Because if you come in my office and you tell me I got a car at such and such and I ask you what your interest rate is and you tell me I don't know, I'm going to probably reach over and choke you. We got to start knowing what our interest rates are. I don't know, it's not acceptable because you don't understand how important interest rates are. Let me tell you how important interest rates is. I have three different loans at $10,000 for 48 months. If your credit is poor, let's say that $10,000 at 21% over 4 years costs you $310 a month. It's going to cost you $48.55 in interest over those 4 years.
Right.
So damn it, $5,000.
Yeah. So you pay $15,000 for this car. Say you in the middle row, it ain't too bad, it ain't too good. We're there probably about 12.75 over the course of them same years. Payment $268, you're going to pay $2,800 in.
Hey, Anthony?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. We got somebody else who's trying to call in. So if you want to stay in, I'll bring you back in a few. But I want to pick up another caller while we still got time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
And if your credit is excellent, you get 2.25 on that $10,000 at 4 days a month, $219 a month, you pay $464 in interest. So you pay $10,500 for a car that another person paid $15,000 when y'all driving the same damn car. That's why credit is important.
I saw where it was polled to, you know, over a million Americans and whatnot, and it was talking about these mistakes that we made with credit. And that was one of them, not knowing the terms and conditions of your credit card. Like, there's so many loopholes. Got to. And it's something about us that we see that long piece of paper without that reading, we just throw it to the side. No, I'm just ready to activate and go to the mall. Read your terms and conditions.
Right, that's exactly what happened. Just look. We don't read leases. We don't read rental car agreements. We don't read terms and conditions on credit cards. People say, when the apartment people say you can get your lease, you sign your name, and that's it. All you think is have my rent money in on the field, by the field,
right,
whatever your date is.
True.
Hey, we got another caller I'm gonna bring in. If the last three numbers, last three digits of your phone is 198, I'm bringing you in. Last three digits 198. Do you have something you want to share?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, man, it's Marcus. Hey, I want to thank y'all for the information that y'all putting out there, man. I just want to share a couple of things about credit. And, you know, I'm kind of one of the ones that's on the opposite side of the fence. I just start with this right here. I feel like, yes, you know, we have, I like the way you said that the American people has made credit important, right? Because you gotta have it in order to do certain things. And we tend to focus on our credit score, but we're not really focusing on our net worth. Or we don't even focus on the amount of money that we have, like, stacked away, saved away, like emergency fund or that type of stuff. So in the long run, what I'm getting at is that, yeah, man, it's true. America has made credit important, right? It's like, you know, you got to have it. Well, how do you get it if you don't have it? Well, you got to go in debt. Oh, why are you going in debt? Because you got to have credit so you can borrow more money. Well, why do I need to borrow more money? Well, because you got to get your credit score. You never know. But when it comes down to it, man, you have money. You have money. But what I'm getting at is I think the biggest problem, I would say, is that we are using credit to band-aid the true problem. And the true problem is that we don't know how to handle money. We don't have the proper money mindset, right? The same type of money mindset that we have to be diligent with credit and pay it off is the same type of mindset that we can have to not overspend. You know what I'm saying? Like not borrow money that we don't have and anticipating that we are going to pay it back. Now, I do know emergencies do come up. I'm not even trying to be, you know, naive to the fact or whatever like that. But if we start thinking about it like right now, man, like for instance, I guarantee you there's a lot of people right now at this moment and finishing up for the rest of the year putting Christmas on credit. They're going out to get gifts on credit. And then when January hit, they're going to be looking stupid because now they don't know what's going on. But guess what? Christmas is the same time every year, right? Start in January saving. Start in January putting back some money. Save up and come up with a plan to where you can put back money up until, I don't know, October, November, Black Friday deals. Go in there with your cash. And then guess what? Now Christmas is truly a blessing. Now it's not a burden, right? But going back to the whole deal, like, man, like this stuff, and I'm passionate about this stuff, man. It's like going back to the whole thing, we got to plan stuff out. When emergencies do happen, yes. Like, I remember one time, like, my wife, okay, so we, you know, we started, we got a little emergency fund, and then we started putting together a, we got a line item in our budget for our car maintenance fund, right? Oil changes. I know that's going to happen. But then we have an emergency fund, too. And so, like, I asked my wife, I said, hey, I don't remember how much it was, like $500-$700, something like that. I don't know. It was enough for me to ask her, right? You know, whatever. So, and I was like, hey, this part costs X, Y, Z. She said, man, that's what we got the emergency fund for. I said, you're right. Thank you. You know, it's that sense of peace. I don't have to worry about something. Another thing, man, like, last year, one time, I haven't had a credit card in like a year and a half. Last year, now, I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's possible. And what I'm getting at, the reason why it's possible, because we have started planning. We have started being intentional. We started doing it on vacation. Last year, we went to New Orleans, have fun. That was the best vacation I ever had, and we didn't come home paying bills on it, right? You know, we didn't come on paying bills. And like I said, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that it's possible. One more thing I kind of wanted to talk about was getting a mortgage. Yeah, it's going to be rough. If you don't have a credit score, it's going to be rough to get a mortgage. Like a lot of places do this thing called manual underwriting, but it's rough. You got to save up the money for it. You got to save up the nice down payment for it. If you don't have a credit score at all, it's possible. But you got to save the money. You got to be intentional with it. And, man, I promise you, I can't promise because I don't know. But if you go to somebody and you – now, your credit debtor, yeah, you can't rent an apartment complex. Right? You can't go there. But if you're a college student or whatever, and let's say you never had credit at all, if you go to somebody who got some rental income, I mean, got some rental property, and you tell them your situation, they're going to be like, how'd you graduate school and you don't get credit? Well, my parents were intentional. They started saving money back when I was young. They had 529 plans. They had ESAs. And what that didn't cover, I started working. Now, this is hypothetical. I'm trying to go back and tell you how we can do it moving forward, right? The problem is that we haven't did it, so now we have to play catch-up. But what I'm saying is that then they say, well, how did you buy a car? Well, man, I was working. I turned 16, I bought me a little car, you know, parents helped out, blah, blah, blah. So you mean to tell me you never used credit in your life? No. But how do you get through school? I told you, man. I had a plan. I worked.
Hey, Marcus.
How you going to plan on? Yeah.
How do you back to my earlier question, without a credit card, how do you get hotel rooms and things of that nature?
How do you get hotel rooms?
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it on debit card.
Okay.
Just using a debit card.
Yeah, you use a debit card. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we use Capital One. So, I mean, we got multiple, like, checking accounts, right? So we got, like, a little vacation account or whatever. So what I'm getting at, the reason I bring this up is that a lot of times some people be worried about, well, I use my credit. I mean, I use a debit card, then, you know, something happens with the scammers, you know, that now they don't got access to my whole bank. Well, your bank will refund your money. But then you it's a process. But you feel like it's a process. But if I do it on a credit card, at least it's not my actual money. Well, in that case, like I said, that's why we got that separate checking account for vacation. So we take that card. it's not tied to our main bill money, right? So if they if the scammers get that, hey, they just got the vacation money. We still got some money on the side in our main checking account. At least they ain't get the rent. At least they ain't get the whatever payments, you know. So yeah, that's how I handle that situation. I know I did a lot of talking, did a lot of rambling. I was trying to take some notes here, but like I said, man, I get a little passionate about this stuff, man, because I think the biggest thing is like being intentional with the money, and even with a credit card, just be intentional. Like if you like have some money first, you know, like that's how I'm saying it, man. If you want to use a credit, fine, do it. I mean, you need it, but I'm not trying to do it. But my thing is have some money first, because you don't want to pay interest, right? You don't want to pay a penalty. If I am paying interest, I'm paying a penalty. But if I invest that money and I receive interest, that's a reward, right? You know, we don't talk about investing like the same way. Interest, compound interest works both ways. It works for you or it works against you. So,
and what are your thoughts from your perspective of working in the bank of Marcus's comment? And hey, Marcus, I appreciate your comments, and we've got a couple other things we got to do, being that we're about to wrap up in about 10 minutes. So thank you for that, and if you stay on the line, we may bring you back in if we have time.
All right, sure.
All right, thanks, man. Mika, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, he made some valid points, but that's just like, that's a whole other show. That's a whole other show because I'm frugal. I don't like to make a lot of bills, and I don't like to be I don't like to have a lot of stuff going on. I picked up a second gig to take care of a couple things, because I try to tell people when they say, "Oh, I'm so far in debt, well, have you thought about taking up another job?" Then they start looking with the glass over look, and I'm not even deep in debt. I just like having most of my money on me. Does that make sense? I like to see my money stay in my bank account. So I don't like to have a lot of debt. Like right now, between my mortgage and my car note, it used to be what my rent used to be. And I could afford my rent fine. So when something come up, it's not a big deal because I can afford it. I have the money. When there's an emergency or something that has to be done, I don't like putting trips on credit cards. I'm with him 100% on that. If I'm putting it on a credit card, it's just because I'm going to pay it right back off because I got a perk or a deal, or I didn't want to put my debit card online. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
Went ahead and caught the deal and paid for the trip, and everybody paid me back, you know. So I don't like that. So he makes some valid points. Like I said, that's all. We would need another show to do that, to really talk about that, because he is absolutely right. You need to pacify yourself with credit, because there's no way people should be putting Christmas on credit. You shouldn't have to pay for Christmas for 12 months.
A 1,000%.
There's some people still paying for Christmas from 2008.
Right.
Hey, and before we wrap up, we got about 6 minutes left. I wanted to kind of hand off to you, Joe, to kind of go over your top five for tonight.
All right. Brother made some great points, though, and I really agree with a lot of stuff he was saying. Been the same.
That's a conversation we need to go deeper in.
Yeah, like we need a whole nother show to talk about
budgeting
that.
And yeah.
So and Mika, please chime in, because you know you've been the expert in this situation. I would love to know your opinion on this top five.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, one of the number five thing actually was not reading your terms and conditions and not knowing your credit card terms.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, we don't want to get into it. We don't want to read it. It's a lot of information. You know, you might get intimidated with all those words staring at you, and the numbers probably don't make that much sense to you. Like I said, you do understand my balance is $1,000. My payment is, you say, $9 a month. That's all I need to know. And then they max it out, and then they get into, and they find themselves in trouble down the line.
And that's when they start asking questions.
Right. That's when the questions start coming in. The number four thing, the biggest mistake that, you know, people make with credit is they max out their credit cards. And when you don't read the terms and conditions, they tell you when you max it out, there are, like, you know, penalties that come with that, and then now you over, you know, your limit, and then here comes the excess charges or whatnot that you could have been aware of. And I don't think people realize the credit score system and maxing it out, how much that hurt you.
Yeah, credit cards will hurt your credit. You can go, if you max out your credit cards, you can go from a 700 into the high fives in 30 days.
Wow.
There's a 30% rule on credit cards.
Wow.
There's a 30% rule. So if you have a $300 credit card, your credit card, and that's the only credit card you have, you don't need to leave a balance over $90 on that credit card. You don't spend $299. You're supposed to have a balance $90 or less. It's a 30% rule. They give you these credit cards, and they do not teach you how to use them. If you are putting anything on credit, you need to be trying to pay it off in at least 6 months. I understand emergencies happen, but you need to have some kind of, before you swipe that card, you need to mentally have it, a plan in your mind to pay that card off.
All right. Number three, the biggest mistake that we make as Americans with credit, we only pay the minimum payments. Now, why, you know, I guess people, you know, they say it's $11 a month. They pay that $11 a month. They don't believe in paying extra. Can you just speak on briefly, like, why this is such a bugaboo for us? Like, why does paying the minimum payment come back to bite you?
Because when you read your fine print on the bottom of your credit card statement, what you really, if you're paying the minimum payment, what you are really paying is most of the interest on the card. And they will tell you, if you continue to pay this $25 a month, it will take you 15 years and 7 days to pay off this credit card balance. That's why, because all you're paying is the interest.
Okay.
It's exactly how much time.
Okay. Hey, number two, late payments. It says one of the things about paying late drops your credit score tremendously. Can you speak to, like, how much it drops? Like, you know, why paying late hurt you so much? How can you build up so much credit cachet, miss one payment, and have it fall so fast?
Mickey, you there?
Can we lose Mika?
Yeah, I guess we did.
Tank,
you there?
It's not like a delinquent.
Oh, no, there you go.
I'm sorry. It's not like a my daughter got in my car and the Bluetooth picked up. It will stay with you. Late payments do not go away as long as you have that credit file. And it takes you, one late payment will cost you almost 80 points, and you will have that late payment for the rest of that credit file. And it takes you 12 months to get it back.
Whoa.
One late payment
drop you around about 80 points?
Yep.
Whoa.
Depending what else you got going on with your credit, it hurts you a lot. That's a significant drop. That's a significant drop. And then and one thing that I try to tell people, and something I had to learn from myself, keep in touch with your creditors. Let them know what's going on. A lot of places, especially with your vehicles in your home, they have deferral programs. They have it where they can move that payment at the end of the term where you don't get a late payment, and it keeps you in good graces. You just have to learn how to talk to people. We gotta just shred that whole thing about being embarrassed or flexing for people, because don't nobody care. We all struggling in our own little way.
That's right.
And the number one thing, quickly, I really needed you to speak on this number one thing, because I was trying to, you know, do my Googles and figure this one out. Charge-offs. the 6 months no payment, this, I don't know, like this rule that sticks with you for years and years and years over time when your credit card has a charge off. Can you speak to that and just help me clarify?
You got 7 years with that. It's 7 years with that. Pay them folks. Even if they charge it off, pay them folks. Please pay them folks so you can have it to zero. So, because what's going to happen is every time they're reporting that you're not paying, you're losing points. So if you're doing something positive, you're pretty much walking through mud. You may be going somewhere, but you're going slowly.
Wow.
You can make payment rank. Yeah.
7 years?
Seven years. Oh, and student loans stay with you forever.
Oh.
They like hurt.
Hey, Pink, are you with us?
Never go nowhere.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's the top five, the biggest mistakes we make when it comes to credit cards. Meek, I think you did an amazing job of clarifying every one of those. So, you know, I'm pretty sure the listeners appreciate that.
Yeah, and we're about to close up. Does anybody got any final parting shots?
I think it was a pretty good show. With a lot of good, valuable information. Appreciate the listeners. Appreciate the callers that called in. It's pretty good. It's Game 7 is on the beginning. Each week is going to get bigger and better.
I appreciate
it.
We're
here to entertain.
I didn't even realize we were going to get touch on insurance.
Okay.
I said I'm happy that we got a chance to speak on insurance.
Yeah, that was my take as well. Like I think we hit a bunch of different important topics. I think life insurance and the importance of life insurance could have been a whole show by itself. And, you know, for us to go through it, I was happy we touched on that. Game 7, man, we here. We back.
I'm excited.
You know? I'm excited.
Yeah, great show. Good to think this was a great one to start off of, and I think this is a topic that we will come back to. We haven't figured out the topic for next week, but it's going to be the same bad time, same bad station. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Anthony, for y'all's sharing with us, and we hope we have more callers that want to kind of jump in next time. We'll have different topics, but we definitely want to bring value to you all. Thanks, Mika. Thanks, Tank. Thanks, Joe. It was great. It was fun. Closing shots. That's it. That's all. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, y'all. Game 7.